One Monday night at the army barracks in Mount Gambier, I was speaking with one of the sergeants. His name is Trevor. And somehow in the course of our conversation, we started talking about what it was like for him the first time he wore his third stripe, first time he was seen by his men as a sergeant. The week before, he was a corporal. He was one of the boys, and he acted like it, and they treated him like it. Then that night he arrived with his third stripe on, the soldiers started treating him differently. And he thought about it, and suddenly his eyes were opened and he realised with a start, he said, "Hey, I'm a sergeant now. I'd better start acting like one." I tell you this story in order to make the following proposition. My proposition to you this morning is this: how we see ourselves, that is, what we understand and believe ourselves to be, determines how we behave. Think about it. How we see ourselves determines how we behave. Now, it's possible to have a view of ourselves that is not consistent with reality. And sometimes we see this in particularly young women, the anorexics or bulimics. They consider or see themselves or believe themselves to be fat. And so they do all they can to lose weight. And so it's important for us that we don't have an incorrect view of ourselves, but a correct one. And that we take this on board and make it part of our thinking and doing. And so the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the New Testament to spell out on numerous occasions what Christians are or what they have become when they believe in Jesus, and so we behave accordingly. Just think about a few of the things that Paul writes. He says, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, we use the term he there, but it includes women as well. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The past is gone, the new has come. Think about how that affects how we should see ourselves. Does it mean we dwell on what we once were? No, we don't. We forget about it, like Paul says later on. We're a new creation. In Ephesians 4, he says, we have a very high calling to be the children of God. In Philippians 3, we said with the children, our citizenship is in heaven. We become citizens of heaven. Colossians 1, we moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son, Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells us we are called into God's kingdom and glory. Now that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. You can think of dozens more. That's just what Paul writes. But then Peter writes and he tells us that Christians are a chosen people. They're a royal priesthood. They're a holy nation. They're a people belonging to God. They are, in fact, the people of God. And they are the ones who have received mercy. There's heaps of things for us to remember what we are, what we have become when we believe in Jesus. But today I just want to pick one of them. I want us to focus on our citizenship in heaven, what it means and how it applies to us. Citizenship. What does it mean? Well, from the Biblical Encyclopedia, it tells us that this word citizenship is the Greek word polytuma, which first of all had the meaning of a commonwealth or a state. But we know that over time words change their meanings or they incorporate other things. Sometimes the meaning of words contract a little bit. So the meaning of words changes over a period of time. So this polytuma originally meant a commonwealth or a state. But then it developed in its meaning. And I want you to think this through. It came to mean or describe a group of people who left their country and went to live in another one, but instead of embracing the laws and the traditions of this country, they took with them their laws, their traditions from their home country and were seeking to live by them over here in their new country. That's what this word polytuma was meaning at the time that Paul used it. A group of people who aren't living in their own country anymore, or aren't living in their own country, but are living in another country, living not according to the laws of that country, but according to the laws of this country. Now, I want to suggest to you that that is a brilliant concept. And I think it's no wonder that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to use it to describe what Christians are. They are foreigners, strangers, living in a country not their own, but striving to live in the ways of their own land. Paul describes us, we are citizens of heaven, but we're not living there at present, we're living over here. Now, this concept may frighten some people. You know, we don't like it as Australians. When people come from a foreign country and they want to live in Australia, but they don't want to live by our laws and customs, they want to live by the laws and customs of their land that they've come from. We don't like it when we're told that. And lots of people, even Australians, don't like it when other Australians say, I'm a Christian. I'm Australian second. Don't our political masters want us to be Australians first? And whatever other label we want to use, second, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Collingwood supporter. They all come second, according to our political... They want us to be Australians first. But the thing is this. Jesus demands our first loyalty. Doesn't he say, if anybody would be my disciple, he must... deny himself. Deny all that he is, all that he believed, all his ambitions, all his former allegiances. He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. Didn't Jesus say on another occasion, if anyone is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him when I stand before my Father. I'll have nothing to do with them. Jesus demands our first loyalty. So we are, as Paul says, citizens of heaven, and while we live here on earth, we are expected to live as citizens of heaven. And to do that, we need to remember whose we are. We belong to Jesus. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And this is the important bit. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. And what was this price was paid for us? Peter writes, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. We belong to him. Therefore, we need to remember these things so that we highly value, greatly esteem, gratefully cherish, jealously guard what we are, citizens of heaven. Okay, so how does that apply in our lives? And here I guess it's what we were saying with the boys and girls before. We were thinking of rights and responsibilities. And what I want us to do today is just think of a few general principles and to follow that up with some specifics next week when I'm up here again, and in whenever Philip invites me back, I'll go through a series of these. Because in Philippians 4, 1 to 19, there are specific things that Paul spells out as our responsibilities in being citizens of heaven. And one of the first rights and privileges that we have of being citizens of heaven is that we have direct access to the King. I remember watching a movie a long time ago. The wars between England and Scotland, and a lot of the Scottish lords were enemies of the King of England. But one of these enemies, a Scottish lord, was a Knight of the Garter. And he came into the King's presence. And the King said, what are you doing here? He says, as a Knight of the Garter, I have the right to come into the King's presence. And it's this same right that you and I, as ordinary Christians, have to come into the presence of God. And it's a wonderful privilege that we have. The writer to the Hebrews says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place, the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And that same writer urges us. He exhorts us. He says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You and I and every true believer in Jesus can come directly to God and place before him all our concerns, our cares, all the issues that confront us with life. Isn't it a blasphemy when people call on the so-called saints for assistance? What about those times when you hear of people praying to Mary MacKillop for healing of their child? How do you feel? I get appalled. Surely it's an insult to Almighty God for people to pray to creatures for assistance when they can go directly to God Himself. All Christians, as citizens of heaven, have the right of direct access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator between God and mankind. So let us never blaspheme and call upon one of those so-called saints. A second thing that we ought to think about, a responsibility for us as citizens of heaven, is to remember that we're in the world, but we're not of it. Jesus specifically taught that in his prayer in John 17. He says in his prayer, "For they," that is us, his people, "are not of the world." He doesn't want us to be taken out of it before our time. He doesn't want us to go and live on some mountaintop. He doesn't want us to go into some monastery. He wants us to be in the world. He says to the Father, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." He says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it." We are not of this world. And so Paul writes to us, he says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mould," as J.B. Phillips writes. We are to be in the world. That's where Jesus wants us. But to remember that we are not of the world. So we need to ask ourselves daily, am I allowing the world to squeeze me into its mould? What governs your decision-making process? I remember reading in the newspaper once that the headlines were something along the lines of, "A poll finds the church is out of touch." And the import of the article is that the church should conform to the desires of the people. Do you allow contemporary ideas to influence your thoughts and actions? Or do you stick to what God has decreed? As citizens of heaven, we are to be salt and light in the world. Salt, flavoursome, preservative. Light gives warning. Light's a pathway, gives hope, gives safety, gives welcome. How are you being salt and light to the people around you? As citizens of heaven, we need to constantly ask ourselves, how are we living? Do we have the same desires, ambitions, goals as the world around us? Are we busy storing up wealth for ourselves? Do we worry about food, clothing, drink, and so on, as Jesus says, as the pagans do? He wants us to live according to God's way. And he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God," and clothing, food, drink, everything else we need will be provided. He says, "Don't worry about tomorrow." It's a challenge, isn't it? But there are plenty of examples for us to follow. Think of our Old Testament reading. Ruth, wonderful lady. She was a pagan, she was a Moabite. But she aligned herself to and with the God of Israel. And she rejected her old ways and she lived according to God's laws. And we read the story of Ruth and you'll see as she matures as a person in Israel, she lived according to God's precepts. Ruth is, pardon me, one example to follow. We started to read many of that one people in that wonderful faith chapter of Hebrews 11. Abraham and many others remembered that they were aliens and strangers here on earth. They were longing for their real homeland, the kingdom of heaven. And so they leave us with this challenge to keep on looking forward to what we have. And Paul is exactly the same. He says, forgetting what I once was, I press on. He says, let us live up to what we have attained, being the children of God. And he urges us to follow his example. But there are dangers for us to avoid and to recognise. Remembering that we are the people of God, we still live here on earth with the kingdom of darkness pressing in and all around us. We live in a world hostile to us. Ask Israel Folau, he'll tell you. We are foreigners. We are strangers to the people around us. They don't know where we are coming from. They don't understand us when we speak of the things of God. They can't comprehend that people would want to worship and serve God. And as a result of all that pressure around us, there's a very real danger that the people of God may forget who and what we are and begin to live like the people around us. We may allow ourselves to be blackmailed by the world. And it says your first loyalty is to Australia. You are Australians first, Christians or whatever else second. And the pressure of the world around us may con us to accept the worldly view of things. We were talking with a young Christian man when we had that same-sex plebiscite a year or so ago. Grown up in a Christian home, he was a member of our congregation in another place. He said he was going to vote in favour of the same-sex thing because, he said, you know, some of my mates are homosexual. And I guess he wanted, well, he said, we've got to act in love. No, we've got to act in obedience to what God says. He was conned. He succumbed to the pressures of the world. So they're the sorts of things we need to remember. I said to you before, how we see ourselves, what we understand, believe ourselves to be, determines how we behave. Let's never forget that every true believer in Jesus, every Christian, is a citizen of heaven. Those laws, those precepts are to govern our thinking and our doing while we are still in this world. We belong and we are going to that kingdom of God and his Son. We're going to be part of that vast, innumerable crowd standing before the throne and before the Lamb. It's a wonderful thing to keep in mind. It's our right. It's our privilege. So the exhortation today is, let us never forget who we are, where our citizenship is. We are to follow the examples of Abraham, Ruth, Paul, and all the other heroes of the faith. Let us live like them now, pressing on to achieve the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very short statement of Paul gives us, reminding us, declaring to us that our citizenship is in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege of being part of that great innumerable number of people who believe and trust in Jesus. We'll stand before your throne and before Jesus on that great and glorious day. Enable us in our lives here on earth to remember that we are in the world but not of it, for we belong in the kingdom of heaven. And so guide us in our thinking, in our doing, that we might demonstrate firstly to ourselves and to all those around us that we belong to our Lord Jesus. Amen.